Intervju Radija Študent.
Zdravo, Intervju Radija Študent, v katerem nocoj gostimo dva člana zasedbe Swedish As, ki bo nocoj 1. marca nastopila v klubu Gromka na Metelkovi v okviru cikla koncertov Defonija. Obeta se nam torej večer švedskega džeza iz 50. in 60. let prejšnjega stoletja, vendar ne v povsem tradicionalnem jeziku. Zasedba bo predelovala lirične tradicionalne melodije v predrugačenih strukturah in novi zvočni podobi, z dodatkom elektronike in sodobne improvizacije. Sestavlja pa jo skoraj pet švedskih glasbenikov in sicer Per Åke Holmlander na tubi, Kjell Nordeson na vibrafonu, Erik Karlsson na bobnih in izbranih tokalih, Mats Gustafsson na altovskem in baritonskem saksofonu ter elektroniki v živo, ter Deep Dreitzen ali Dieter Kovačič z gramofoni in elektroniko. Za vtis najprej poslušamo nekaj muzike z ravnokar izdane plošče Jazz pa Svenska, nato pa nadaljujemo z intervjujem. Torej, od peterice članov zasedbe Swedish As sta torej z nami v studiju Mats Gustafsson in Dieter Kovačič. Mats, Dieter, hello.
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 So since I'm a bit slow in these linguistic things, I would like to know why the name Swedish As.
Swedish As, because it's a Swedish mess of Swedish jazz. So we found it pretty appropriate with Swedish As.
So, leftover of jazz or...?
Yeah, the backside of things, maybe. I mean, you can make up your own version, but we think it looks pretty cool.
Swedish jazz, yeah. So, the band is purely Swedish, or is it?
It's Swedish with a very Austrian accent.
What Austrian accent?
Well,
I'm the Austrian.
Or Southern Swedish, or how is it?
Very Southern Swedish.
Extreme Southern Swedish. No, it's four members from Sweden and then Dieter. So that's a perfect mix.
Okay. So how come you decided to invite Dieter to the project, since you're an all Swedish
because
band?
Because he was born for this mission, I think.
Mm-hmm.
No, we are really lucky. It's this project... me and Per-Åke Holmlander, the tuba player, we had this idea for very many years to do something with the Swedish jazz tradition, the golden age of Swedish jazz, which is like the 50s and the 60s,
mm-hmm.
With Lars Gullin and Jan Johansson and all those composers, musicians.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to make a version of this music, true to the music, but... something different, a new context. So we talked about every time we work a lot together, and every time we met, we talked about it, and then we started to think about who should be in the band, and we find, I think, a really, really interesting creative mix now of very individual voices and an artist, and so far so good.
Okay. So, how is Swedish jazz different from any other jazz?
It's not different.
No.
Fuck that shit. It's. I mean, people like to romanticize and say Swedish jazz is. It's a lot like folk melodic. It's a very sad kind of, because it's a very sad country. No, but it's. I don't believe in all those generalizations. There are. It's only up to the individual musicians, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in Sweden, in the 50s and 60s. It was a lucky coincidence, maybe, that there was a lot of really great musicians and composers. So that's the Swedish part of it.
Mm-hmm. So you don't believe in limiting music by national borders or defining
that
it like
that? That is extremely stupid, and that's as stupid as limiting like political or ethnic or whatever kind of limitations. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
Very, very dangerous, I think.
Yeah, of course. So, how do you work on this old music? How do you transform it, if you do?
Our friend Dieter here is a big part of transforming it. It's a very interesting thing, because the four Swedes in the band, we know the material since childhood, you know? We heard a lot of those pieces we were playing, we heard when we were kids, and Dieter had, in a way, no relation to it, and I think that creates a very interesting... energy in the band, what Dieter is actually adding and how he's deconstructing the music, since he's working with the original music from his turntables.
So Dieter, is it hard for you to get in this context or to work with this?
No,
Swedish
I just don't
thing?
Think about the tradition. I think that's the trick. I just let it go and try to react to whatever happens.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes no sense for me to try to really understand the original Swedish tunes of the 1960s and then work with that. I just try to find my own approach and react to the other musicians, and that's
mm-hmm.
how it happens.
How do you work with the gramophone?
Well, it's two turntables, and I have a little computer that does live processing of the sounds, and I have a record cutting machine, so I can put my own sounds on record and play with them. So I put some things like the original tunes and some more remix kind of stuff on vinyl, and I play with this live together with the other four musicians.
Mm-hmm. So you prepared some of the electronics ahead?
Yes, there's a lot of pre-prepared sound on the vinyl, but then it goes further, of course, when I play live with this material.
And you also include the original records?
Yes.
Okay. What about electronics? How do you process? You both use electronics on shows. How do you process the sound?
My electronics is not really about processing. It's a separate sound source in itself.
It's a synthesis, you could say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what we like to put this music in a contemporary context, you know, and we are all interested in electronic music of different sorts. So it's a very natural thing for us to involve electronics with acoustic instruments, and it's really a matter of balancing electronic sounds and pure acoustic sounds like the vibraphone and the tuba and everything, very classical instruments, you know. Mm-hmm. And I found it very interesting to put all these melodies in a new context, you know, but still be true to the melodies, to play the melodies, not fuck them up right away, but, you know.
Okay, so you will be playing composition by composition from Swedish authors, or?
It's more or less. There's some kinds of medley.
Yeah. We have a book of 13, 14 pieces that we use in different ways every night, also because we don't like to fix them too much. They are sort of fixed, but we don't like to fix it too much because then it's not fun to play.
Yeah, of course.
It has to happen in the moment.
Mm-hmm. But you don't use like more pieces in one time or create new structures with them?
We do. New structures, yes, all the time.
Okay.
We only know afterwards.
Yeah. That's what we do, new structures.
Okay. What compositions or authors will you be playing?
It's a variety. And of course, it's all Swedish composers. Lars Gullin, Jan Johansson, Lars Werner, Bo Nilsson, Bernt Egeblad. It's all names. They've been very influential on the Swedish music scene, not just the jazz scene, also the contemporary music scene and the rock scene. We play a piece by Bo Nilsson that was created for an organ and drum duo that used to play with Jimi Hendrix and shit. So there's like this all different kinds of connection to contemporary, different kind of contemporary music.
And your new album released on Notch 2 Records is called Jazz po Svinska.
Yes.
Correct. Just like the record from the Swedish jazz pianist Jan Johansson from 1962. What is the connection between the two?
Yeah, we play a lot of his pieces, actually. And that's the most classic album in Swedish jazz history, I would say. So it's a little bit of a taboo, in a way, to play those pieces, because they are everyone knows them. So when we play in Sweden and we start playing on some of his compositions, people start applauding right away. You know, they recognize it. So it's a really interesting situation for the music to play in Poland and Slovenia and Austria and Germany, whatever takes us on this tour, when people maybe don't have the knowledge of the pieces.
The same context, yeah.
Yeah, so it's a very different vibe to play in Sweden and play outside. And I like both, of course.
So maybe a question for you both. Mats, you're working in Austria, and Dieter, you're cooperating with the Swedish. You're both familiar with the Austrian and the Swedish improvising or jazz scene, however you might call it.
Mm-hmm.
Are they comparable?
Yeah.
What are your feelings about working in one place or the other?
It's a necessity to work in different places. Otherwise, it gets kind of stupid and inbred music if you only work with the same people all the time. And as I said before, it's not about nationality. It's about individuality, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I like to work with Dieter because he makes fucking fantastic music. It's not because he's from Austria, you know.
Yeah.
So it's all about the individual, I think, for me.
And Dieter?
I kind of see it the same. I don't live in Sweden or something, so I don't know as much about the Swedish scene as Mats knows about the Austrian scene. But it's great to work with the Swedish musicians, not because of their Swedish and
of course,
the rest of that Mats already said.
Sorry.
But you, do you feel another vibe when you work with Swedish, I mean, with Swedish musicians or?
Not generally.
Another
approach. I mean, they are great musicians, but...
Stupid people.
Yeah.
When it comes to institutional support, I know the Swedish have a very good system for music,
that
right?
That is not true.
No?
No. It used to be really good.
Yeah.
Not really. I mean, really good is Norway right now, but Sweden used to be good, and you could get state support for recording projects and touring projects and everything. But we had a couple of very unfortunate governments the last 15 years or so. So they cut down the budgets for culture a lot, and a lot of other things as well. It's a pretty bad situation, I think, right now. It's, of course, better than United States, you know, where you have absolutely no support whatsoever. But it's very, very limiting. So, no, that's a myth. As well as the Swedish welfare system is a complete catastrophe, I would say.
You think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not good. It used to be good, but the myth is still there, you know.
Mm-hmm. How about the Austrian?
Well, the thing that it went down in the last 10-15 years is quite similar, I guess, mm-hmm. to Sweden. But apart from that, I think there's still some support for a music scene that wouldn't be possible in other countries or regions. And I don't care very much about that, so I'm not the guy who applies for money all the time. I sometimes get some money from embassies for traveling or such. That's my main contact with public money, but I don't really... I'm not in that money system, not even trying to.
Yeah, it's difficult. I mean, because Sweden is a little bit offside geographically from the rest of Europe, so we need, sometimes you need support to be able to travel. So for this tour, we were lucky and we had a little bit of travel support. It doesn't cover all the travel we're doing because it's a lot of travels, but we had a little bit of support, which is good. But if it would have been 15 years ago, we would have much better support. But I think it's a general, except Norway, which is outside of the EU. I think it's almost the same in every country in Europe. There's major cutdowns with the culture budgets.
French or German people say the same
about
their situation. So it's quite similar all over Europe, I think.
Yeah, so there has to be some change because we need to travel, we need to meet new audience, we need to meet new musicians, otherwise the music will pretty much die out, you know. So it's important.
Yeah, it's the same situation here. I mean, not much support and the scene mainly stagnating.
Yeah, I mean, but on the other hand, we should not like bitch and complain about it too much because it's an extremely great time right now musically, I think, in general in Europe, with a lot of different generations working together and a lot of different approaches to creative music, and there's never been as creative as now. So there's a lot of really positive things within music. It's when you lift it up on a political agenda, then we see a lot of problems, you know. But in general, I'm very optimistic and positive about what's going on the music scene. It's the political issues that's more concerning.
Mm-hmm. Dieter, I heard you also tried to enter a conservatory or academy.
Kind of, yeah. The Electroacoustic Institute of the Music University in Vienna. But I failed.
And I never totally tried again.
The funny thing is that now they want me as a lecturer, but back then they didn't want me as a student.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the same thing.
Yeah.
Failure coming into when you really wanted to enter the university, and you know, then they didn't want us, but now they want us as teachers. It's a funny feeling.
Yeah, of course. Okay. And Mats, I also hear that you will be curating Nickelsdorf Confrontation.
Mm-hmm. Yes, together with Hans Falb, the chief of things there, we will put together a program for this summer, and that will be finished pretty soon, actually. So that looks good. It's going to be 4 days. And I'm trying to follow the history, the tradition of the Nickelsdorf Confrontation, with all the mix of creative free jazz, improvised music, electronica, and to find the, in a way, the whole spectrum of creative music. in 4 days. It's very challenging and great, and also difficult, of course, but I'm really happy to do it this year. It's great.
Okay. Mats, Dieter, I thank you for the interview, and I wish you a good concert and a pleasant stay in Ljubljana. Yeah. And I hope that the listeners will join us tonight.
They have to.
Of course. Torej, to je bil intervju z Matsom Gustafsonom in Dietrom Kovačičem. Oba bosta nastopila v zasedbi Swedish As v klubu Gromka na Metelkovi. Koncert pa se prične ob 22. uri. Intervju sem pripravila Maja Matič. Lep pozdrav.
Intervju Radija Študent.